Let me just give you a half a dozen or seven criteria for selecting men. Who should you invite in the home? Seven things. Real quick. Demonstrated heart for God. A heart for God and a heart for the vision. This is why you don't want to bring in a lot of problem-oriented people or babes in Christ. Someone who's demonstrated a heart for God. You've seen it in his life. Number two, he's a sensitive person. He's open. When you have pointed out things to him in his life, he's accepted it. He's appreciated it. That kind of a spirit. You don't want someone who's going to clutch, grit his teeth, dig in his heels, so you're not going to talk to me about the way I set the table, you know, or the way I keep my closet. You know, if he's that kind of a person, man, send him somewhere else. The third thing is that he's teachable and observant. The idea here is that a lot of training isn't the structured kind of training. It's where a man has the ability to see and apply. Lewis, do you still use the technique of the two notebooks with your fellas? It's kind of a good illustration. Two notebooks before you move in the home. The thin notebook is for everything I'm going to tell you. The fat notebook is for everything you're going to observe. And look for men that are observant and that pick things up. Because if a man says, well, here I am, train me. You know, I've been here 6 months and they haven't trained me yet. Oh, well. Good grief. Now, someone who's teachable in an observant manner. The fourth thing is consistent in the basics. Boy, if you've got a guy who just cannot sustain a quiet time, Bible study, and scripture memory, I really question whether or not bringing him in the home is the solution. You ought to have a period of time where he's demonstrated consistency in his quiet time, intake of the word, and prayer. Another thing is that the family has a positive response, particularly the wife and the children if they're old enough. That you've talked it over with them, you've prayed about it with them, and that the family wants to have this man as part of their family. The sixth thing is, he's demonstrated the ability to do the NAV ministry of winning and discipling men. Now, he may not be a disciple maker. He may be a basic disciple. That's fine. But he's in the process. He's involved. He's moving towards that direction. And the last thing is he's recruitable to the navigators if that's the way God leads him. I don't think everybody who lives in a home is headed for a career in the navigators, or should be. The point simply is that he's recruitable and he's the kind of a man if that's the way the Lord leads. Rob, did you want to comment on that? He's recruitable to the navigators if that's the way the Lord leads. God may or may not lead him into the nav work. That's not the point. But he's the kind we'd want. If that's the way the Lord leads him. Okay, last section. We'll turn you loose for a giant coffee break. Things to understand with a man before you bring him in the home. Things to understand. Before he moves in the home. Underline before. With all the questionnaires that were filled out. And let's remember this. You people are with the navigators. You are navigators. Think of all the people who didn't have homes who aren't with the Navigators, weren't even around anymore. Suppose we could have them fill out a questionnaire. Did you know why you were moving in the home? That might be interesting. Now, let's see. 3, 6, 9. Number one is put on the word allegiance. Allegiance. Now, this can be overdone and or loyalty. This does not have to do with papal infallibility or the omniscient swivel chair or anything of the sort. But while he's in the home, this is his first love, his first loyalty. We're not going to have a man living in the home whose first loyalty is to some other group or Christian organization or fellowship. If you're here, if God has brought you here and you feel this is where God wants you, then while you're here, you're going to be loyal to the rep, loyal to the family, loyal to the other men on the team. Committed. Allegiance. It goes without saying, but I just wanted to say it anyhow. Second thing you ought to understand is the schedule. How he's going to use his time. One of the ladies in the questionnaire, and I'm delighted that I don't know who filled out those questionnaires, don't want to know, said that one of the things she appreciated least about being in the Nav home is never knowing when she was through with the day's work. Well, now, there are two sides of the coin. Number one is that a person in the home ought to have a servant attitude and ought to be available and ought to be willing to go the second mile. But the other side of the coin is there is a certain sensitivity required of us and thoughtfulness in not being overly demanding of people, letting them know that they do have certain time that is free that they can use for things that they feel are important. If it happens to be a Walt Disney movie, fine. Go to the Walt Disney movie. I have no problem with that. Scheduled activities. Thirdly, is a kind of employment. The kind of employment. I don't want a man living in the home who is going to be working evenings and weekends. It won't work. I don't know whether I should say this or not. I know if I do, it'll be misunderstood. And I don't know what they're going to do with the crazy tape. But I'll apologize and I'll deny it later. When Walt moved into the home, Daryl, you remember down there in Southern California, they offered him a job as a youth director in a church. And he came to me and said, "Can I live in the home and be youth director?" Well, youth director has an 80-hour-a-week job every night and every weekend. And it was in totally in conflict with what we were trying to do. And I said, "Walt, I would rather, instead of you being a youth director, that you would tend bar." Now, as I say, I know that. And it really communicated. I got the. So as I say, I know that'll be misunderstood and misapplied, but the point is, get the kind of a job where you can punch in and punch out and major in the training and in the ministry. I don't really intend that he should, obviously, tend bar, but it came across real well. The fourth thing you ought to understand is how he's going to use his money. Money management. Money management. If he's going to pay room and board, how much?
What about his giving program? You ought to be involved in that, in counseling him, and so on. Now, some areas have gotten off the ground using the kitty principle. You know, everybody bring home the paycheck and drop it in. Well, that's okay for 6 months under certain circumstances. I think anybody that uses it for longer than 6 months is avoiding the issue. It's evidence of irresponsibility, not teaching men how to manage finances. The fifth thing, what can he expect from the rep? What am I going to do with you and for you? What can you expect from me? In terms of man-to-man time, Bible study, activities, it doesn't have to be detailed, but just some idea of what can you expect from me. The next thing is, what will his relationship be with the wife and children and with the other men and women in the home? Presumably, he's been around 6 months or a year, 2 years, and it's already been established. But there ought to be some understanding what his relationship will be toward the wife. I'd like to discuss this, matter of fact, in the 11 o'clock hour. When the rep is gone, is the wife in charge of the area? See, who does the man answer to when the rep is at a regional staff conference with his RD for 3 or 4 days. That kind of thing. Who makes the decisions? Another thing ought to be the doctrine of short accounts. Short accounts. There's a whole ream of verses in Proverbs that we won't go over right now, but just the idea that we're going to keep short accounts, that we're not going to let things build up, and a month from now, you know, the giant axe is going to fall on your head and this sort of thing. If I have anything to say, I'll say it today. And if I'm not saying anything, it's because there's nothing to say. We don't want people going around kind of, ooh, I wonder if you know, if something's bothering him. Man, he's awfully quiet tonight. He's sitting there at the end of the table and he hasn't spoken 6 words. I wonder if I've blown it. You know, and we give the old enemy 14 open doors to charge in on the guy. Maybe I've got a migraine. Maybe I've got nothing to say. You know. But the point is, short accounts. And he knows what the doctrine is, what the Word teaches, in terms of reproof and correction. And if I haven't said anything, it's because there's nothing to say. I may feel good, feel bad, mock's next. Another thing is a date for progress evaluation. And I want to hammer this thing. Progress evaluation. But put in your notes, the man is not on trial. On trial. Because it destroys confidence, which is the basic relationship. Well, you move into home and 90 days from now, well, if you hack it, great. If you don't hack it, out. I am opposed to that philosophy, mentality, or anything that remotely resembles putting the man on trial, or the woman. Progress evaluation, fine. 3 months from now, we're going to get together and chat and see how we're doing. And you'll have a chance to ask questions and so on, in a free, permissive atmosphere. That's fine. Progress report, progress evaluation. But he is not on trial. If I've invited him to be part of my family, even though it's for an indefinite period of time, 3 months, 9 months, 2 years, we don't know how long he's going to be there. God hasn't said he'll be there for 23 months and 12 days. No, fine. Progress, yes. On trial, no.
Yes.
Sir?
Do you usually, before they come in, give them a rough idea of the length of time, or do you purposely leave it indefinite? Or does it vary?
It'll vary with the man and with his career. For instance, some of our fellows move into homes, and we know that a year from now they're going to college. And that's the plan. We just want to have 1 year of home training before college. What's quite clear. Other men, it's not clear. We get fellows who are officers and they're already college graduates. We may keep them a year or 2 years. But we leave that open-ended then. And then this other thing that Russ brought up a minute ago, you ought to have an idea, an approximate idea of the limitations of home training. But there are a lot of things that he just isn't going to get, that he can get in college, in Bible school, in seminary, and in other places. That the NAV home is not the ultimate good in life, and that it's the place to get all the right answers on every subject. That there are limitations. And just saying that will probably take care of it. But these are some of the things you want to have understood beforehand. Okay, let's call it quits there.